Hi, I'm Logan Medish. I'm your host of the High Caliber History Podcast. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about provenance and documentation and how incredibly important it is to a gun, but also how careful you have to be when dealing with that documentation, because there are some interesting specific historic instances where the paperwork exists, but it's fake. So, without further ado, let's get into the episode. A number of years ago, I came across this little black and white cartoon strip, a little illustrated comic of a guy standing in a gun shop selling antiques and collectibles as his sign. And there's a guy looking at a gun. And the guy behind the counter tells him, he saw this is a really rare one here. Jesse James never owned this gun. And on the surface, you're like, okay, well, why is that funny? And it's because the Jesse James guns, plural, are kind of an inside joke in terms of the history behind them, which ones are authentic, which ones aren't, and why there is kind of an entire subsection and sub-collecting field of fake Jesse James guns that have cropped up. So obviously Jesse James was one of the most famous outlaws in the Wild West. And of course, to have one of the firearms that he owned or that he used is a big deal. And that would be something worth a lot of money. All sorts of lawman and outlaw guns have come up for sale at auction companies over the years, some with better provenance than others. And they sell for big bucks, even if it can't be definitively proven, and they just say it's attributed to, it still tends to sell for big money because people want to believe that story. So before we get into the Jesse James controversy with those guns, it goes back to another thing that I was told and taught very early in my gun dealing life and looking at museum guns and historic guns and things that were supposedly provenanced and verified. And the concept was buy the gun, not the story. And that's very true both in the museum world and in the private collecting world. You know, if you see a gun at a store or at an auction and you really, really like it, you know, and it's, oh, you know, attributed to so-and-so, you know, look at the documentation, check it all over, you know, give it that gut check and see if it feels right to you. But also only pay what you're comfortable paying, right? Because there's always that possibility that, you know, even if it's 99.9%, you know, you think it's legit, there's always that slight chance that it might not be, unless in that rare 0.1% chance you have rock solid, absolutely an unbroken chain of custody, remarkable provenance. So in case it turns out later on that that piece you bought isn't associated with the historic individual that you thought it was, you still want to be happy with your purchase, which goes back to buy the gun, not the story. You need to sit yourself down and say, hey, if this was just a Colt single action army dating to 1882, would I still be happy with that gun, even if it wasn't associated with Bat Masterson, let's just say. And if you can say, yep, you know what, even if it isn't associated with that historic individual, I'm still happy with the gun. Well, then in that case, buy the gun, not the story. You've spent your money wisely and you go home happy at the end of the day. Okay, so with my buy the gun, not the story, word of the wise and PSA out there, let's talk about Jesse James guns and how so very many of them are what I would call genuine fakes. So obviously, as we mentioned, Jesse James is an incredibly popular and well-known outlaw. And this was true even in life and even very early after his death. So much so that his mother, Zerelda, she sought to capitalize on Jesse's fame. At one point, she had him buried in the front yard so that she could look out the window and see if there were there were any curious visitors coming by to visit his grave, and individuals that she could capitalize on. And one of the ways she did this was she would charge people to collect a handful of the pebbles that were on the top layer of his grave. And, you know, reports vary as to how much she charged. You know, some people say, you know, she'd charge a quarter and you could take some of the pebbles off of Jesse's grave. Well, it doesn't take long. You start doing the math on that and you start thinking about how many pebbles fit on a grave and how popular Jesse was. And pretty soon there's no more pebbles left, right? But there's still a lot of people coming by that want something. So head on down to the river bank there and collect another couple buckets full of pebbles and go dump them out on top of the grave. And now you've got your own way to print some more money there. And not only did Zerelda do this with the pebbles from his grave, she also did it with Jesse's guns. Now, as an outlaw, he handled and owned a number of guns. I mean, that's just gonna be a given that as someone who made his living and his infamy with firearms, he's gonna handle a lot of them. But again, just like the pebbles on a grave, there's only so many of them out there, right? And Zerelda wanted to capitalize this, wanted to capitalize on it even more than she already could. And one of the ways she did this was people would come by and she would claim to be, you know, very poor and destitute. Now, you know, how much money she was actually making, you know, I don't know. I can't say. I'm not a Zerelda James historian. But she would claim to be, you know, dirt poor and absolutely destitute, you know, down to her last nickel. And she's gonna have to part with her beloved son Jesse's favorite revolver. And that's the only way she's gonna be able to pay the bills next month and the only way she's gonna be able to afford to eat. And so for X amount of dollars, $25, $35, $40, which is, you know, no small sum of money at that time, she'll sell you Jesse's gun, and it'll even come with a handwritten receipt that she will sign that she sold to so-and-so for X amount of dollars, my beloved son Jesse's pistol, you know, Smith & Wesson Model 3, serial number 249, and then sign it. And now you've got this genuine Jesse James pistol that you bought from his mother. I mean, that is rock solid provenance, right? You've got that bill of sale, and it doesn't get any more rock solid provenance than that, right? Wrong. And that's because Zerelda was capitalizing on just how many people wanted to have a Jesse James gun. And so there are tons of Jesse James guns out on the market, and quite a few are actually still being seen with their original Zerelda signed bill of sale that she sold it to so-and-so on such and such date for X amount. Here's the make, model, serial number, and she signs it. There's just too many of them out there for them all to be real. And so it has created kind of an interesting subset of collecting that there have been collectors for a long time who collect fakes for a number of reasons. There was one well-known collector, Red Jackson, and he amassed a huge collection of fakes of all kinds. And the idea was that he wanted to buy them to get them off the market so that nobody else would get duped. Well, the Zerelda James, Jesse James stuff isn't quite like that. It's its own interesting subset of collecting because it's such an interesting story about how she was capitalizing on her son's fame and untimely death, that there are people out there that actively seek out fake Jesse James guns, particularly the ones with the legitimate, you know, bill of sale from his mother. Some of which sell for pretty good sums of money, and you do see them come up for auction from time to time. And it has become enough of a, you know, a running joke in the gun community that there was actually that comic strip that I mentioned earlier in the podcast that, you know, the gun seller is selling a gun and this one is really rare because Jesse never owned it. And that just goes to show you exactly how many pieces are floating around out there with somewhat dubious provenance. And again, that's why it all comes back to buy the gun, don't buy the story, because you really, really have to be careful, even with what you think is great provenance. You know, in this instance, it's Jesse James's mother. You know, she wouldn't lie, right? It was her son. Well, she would lie. She did lie. You have rock solid provenance that is dubious provenance. And so it's with any gun, with any kind of historic attribution, unless you could prove that it shipped to a specific person and that's written down and documented in factory records from a gun company, you know, Smith & Wesson or Colt, and, you know, and they can say it was shipped directly to that individual. And you know, why would some lowly record keeper falsify the records on a gun that he isn't keeping and is being sent out? You know, what good is that going to do him all these years later? So if it's documented in factory records that it went to so-and-so, you know, then it's you can trust that. And then in those instances, you can buy the gun and the story because they're both rock solid. But you do have to be careful with provenance and documentation because, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And if someone can make a buck in any industry, they're going to make an extra buck on it. And unfortunately, it's been all too common in the gun collecting community where there is faked provenance or trumped up provenance. And there have been a number of well-known individuals in the gun community who have been busted for doing this and, you know, inflating the historical importance of the piece, outright making up documentation, altering the guns, things of that nature. And some of the collectors that got duped into that, you know, they're very angry. And obviously so, they spent a lot of money on something that wasn't legit. But again, I go back to the buy the gun, not the story. A lot of those pieces are really nice guns. And most people would be happy to own them, but maybe they paid a couple zeros too many on the end of that because of the story. So you just got to be careful out there when dealing with provenance and documentation. And it's, you know, it's something that I have struggled with, you know, having worked in the museum field. I've had people come in and, you know, hey, can you verify this documentation? Can you prove, you know, they come to you with a packet of info and they want it to be true so bad. And that's a conflict of interest. You know, it's something you just can't touch. And it's one of those things that even now that I'm no longer directly working for a museum, it's still one of those things that you have to be really leery about. Because there is just so much fake stuff out there, and you're nothing if not your reputation, right? And so I have had instances, in particular with a Jesse James gun, when I worked in a museum, we had an individual who owned a gun that he believed belonged to Jesse James, and he even went on he was on a reality TV show with this particular gun, and he brought it to the gun show that I was working along with a colleague who owns a gun that is attributed to Jesse James, not definitively proven. And so this individual thought, you know, well, hey, I can use that person's background and this museum's name, and they'll put their stamp of approval on it, and this gun will be legit. And it's just not something that, one, that ethically we could do. And even if we could, the legitimacy of it just wasn't there. The documentation just wasn't there. And there were a lot of particular pieces of this case where the individual who had the gun was wanting to use a lack of evidence as positive evidence of what he had. And it just doesn't work like that. You've just got to be very careful out there. So anyway, that's just another interesting look into the wide world of collecting. Sometimes fakes are exactly what someone is looking for. And you can find that with the wide number of Jesse James faked guns that are out there. And, you know, keep that in mind the next time you're out at a gun show or you're cruising online auction listings and you see a firearm. Remember that gun might actually be a really rare gun simply because Jesse James never owned it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the High Caliber History Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Share it with someone that you think might enjoy it as well. Make sure you're subscribed on your favorite platform. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to talk with you about this topic or any of the other topics from previous episodes of the show, or if you have ideas for future topics on the show. Let me know. Always an open door here, an open email. Looking forward to hearing from you guys. So again, thanks so much for watching and listening and tuning in. And we'll see you right here on the next episode of the High Caliber History Podcast.